Blog Talk Radio.
Due Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're all with this Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? Ah, that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, you know what I'm getting ready to ask you. Where were you yesterday? Oh, my goodness. We definitely started the week off with a hot, hot conversation with our Due Time crew as we were shaking the Monday morning blues together. And we talked about those relationship woes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, as Brother Al would say. Well, we were down two, two due time crew members. That's what I want to say. Two due time crew members. We were down, excuse me, yesterday, because they were off celebrating the graduation of our Brother Al. Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, later on during the week, we'll hear more about that. But we did have our Pastor KL with a flat tire in the middle of the street. We had our Pastor Charlotte and we had our Minister AJ in the house. And man, oh man, you know, relationship woes hit everybody. And we had some really, really, really good relationship roles. Well, one of the stories we talked about was the wife who received an inheritance of $800,000. Okay, close. So let me help you understand. 800,000. Yeah, she had close to $1 million. She had been married for 35 years. She didn't have much debt. She had about $2,800 debt. Her husband had $80,000 debt. And she only made $20,000 a year because she was a part stay-home mom. So she didn't have a lot of income coming in on her side. But she received as an inheritance $800,000. And hey, you know what she did with it? She got her money. Yes, I said it right. She got her money, $800,000. She took $300,000, and she paid off the mortgage. Yes. And she took the other $500,000, and she put it into her account. Now, can you imagine? We've been married for 35 years. I've incurred $80,000 in debt, which clearly is not only my debt, especially if you only got $2,800 of that. Yeah? You only got $2,800 worth of debt, and I got $80,000, and you think I incurred that on my own? I doubt it. I ain't even got to be in that house to figure that one out. Yeah, she took all of it and she put it in her account. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine such selfishness? What happened to we are one? Oh, come on, people. Yes. Oh, we had our other story of the fiancé who had an autistic brother. Yes, and he was low functioning, and they were so close. She talked to her fiance about pretty much taking him on full time as parents. Yes, just taking him on. Never got a complaint that mom and dad were having a problem, you know, but she went, when they got married, she wanted to pull him in, and, you know, when they had children, excuse me, they wanted to, you know, she wanted to say, hey, you know, let's raise him up with our kids. And he was like, nah, I'm sorry. I love little Johnny, but I don't know about all of that. And, you know, it's something to think about because you haven't even gotten your own life started. And we know that, you know, you want to do the right thing and you want to help out and you love your brother. But the first person on the agenda that you need to think about under God is your husband. Yeah. I mean, she did the right thing. She did talk to him because, you know, he does have, you know, they do have him around, the brother around, you know, from time to time. And, you know, he's a good kid and, you know, the guy doesn't mind having. But you can't make those kind of plans. You can't make those kind of plans. What are you doing, people? Listen, you can't. Listen, focus. That's the word I want to use. Just focus. Focus, focus. And the last story that I'd like to talk about is the one who loved to watch TikTok so much, nothing else mattered. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nothing else mattered. Yes, every night he'd go up in the bathroom and he'd be looking at TikTok. But see, here's what I say. I say, how do you know he's looking at TikTok? Why you got to go in the bathroom to look at TikTok? Well, she claims that they have some small children and he likes to, you know, go watch his TikTok to get away. And every night she, you know, checks on him, make sure he's doing well, and, you know, lets him know that dinner is on the table. Well, one particular night, she just got a little bit tired of always letting you know that dinner was on the table, and she did not call him. Yep, she stuck the food in the microwave instead. And oh my, when he realized, when he came down, that dinner had, it was officially over, and it was over without him, he had the nerve to get upset. So listen, how you getting upset when TikTok was your passion? Yes, you didn't care nothing about eating with the family. You didn't care about spending time with the family. You didn't care about talking with your family. Your thought was, hey, I need to get my TikTok on. And that's, again, I say, if the TikTok is what was really going on. Because I don't know. I can't see through closed doors. You could tell me you TikToking or you doing anything. You could tell me you studying for your bachelor's degree. I don't know because I can't see through the door. But she said that's what he's doing. That's what she believed he was doing. I guess that's what he told her he was doing. And she got tired. Well, TikTok this. You will be eating alone tonight. And he had the nerve to get mad. So guess what? That would have been a mad individual. And that would have been the first and last, the first time he would have ever had to worry about not having dinner. And that's the way it would have been going forward. You could TikTok your way all the way to the dinner table post-family dinner. Yep. I'm not doing that no more. That's it. So, thumbs up to her. So, this is what we were talking about yesterday. These crazy scenarios. And, you know, people might say, hey, you know, what are you doing? Why are we talking about, you know, ripped from the headlines? You know, the things that, this ain't got nothing to do with us. Oh, it absolutely does. How in the world do you think you're going to get through your dilemma if we don't learn the practicalities of being in a relationship? And that's why we talk about it here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph, because we're bringing you Christian values. Now, we don't always do it right in our relationships, but there's another reason why God has me, you know, bringing this up even here, so we could check ourselves. You know, we've had some interesting responses, and our own people had to give a second thought about, you know, hey, am I doing the Christian thing in this relationship? Because I'm going to tell you something. When people are pissing you off, yes, I said it just like that. When people are pissing you off in a relationship, you really have to a lot of time. I remember Pastor D, you know, our friend Pastor D. Pastor D was on with us a few weeks ago, and I remember when his wife Tiffany first came on with us, she coined the phrase, "Lord, get your child." When he be cutting up, she just says to the Lord, "Lord, get your child." So listen, he or she ain't always going to be perfect, and neither will you. And there's going to be a whole lot of days in that relationship, whether it's a marriage or just, you know, something, a relationship that's in the making for a potential marriage, where you're going to be saying, "Lord, get your child. Lord, get your child." So that's why we discuss these kind of things on this Due Time with Pastor Steph, and we have a good time talking about it. Yes. Well, that brings me to today. Well, it's Tuesday. Let's talk about it. Tuesday Church Folk Day. Yeah, how are we getting this day going? Well, unfortunately, due to some, you know, continual family time that Pastor Ed has to spend, we won't have him today. But we do have in the house our Pastor Charlotte and our Minister AJ, who are more than equipped to hold it down. And we got some kind of conversation today. Oh, I got to tell you, get yourself ready, because we are going to talk about it today. Yeah, you know how we do. So I got a little news that's a little off the beaten path. And, you know, it may not affect you personally, but you may want to take notes, because you may know someone who it does, you know, pertain to. And you want to make sure you do that godly thing. And, you know, we're collecting information for everybody. Some information for us, some information for our next-door neighbor, some information for our children, some information for our sisters and brothers in the church and our biological sisters and brothers. Yeah, we collect information. And by the way, before I take the break, just let me say that eating 2 cans of sardines a week is what we talked about yesterday. That will help to combat, yes, 2 things. It will help to prevent type 2 diabetes, and it will help to eliminate type 2 diabetes. Well, I gave you all the information yesterday. Yes, I looked through the article, and I was pretty much done. Didn't realize I was done. And so whatever you wrote down yesterday, you got the information. And if you didn't get the information yesterday, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to go back and listen to yesterday's episode, because we are loaded here today and we ain't got no time to go backwards. So let me make sure you get this number, 516-387-1358. Again, the number is 516-387-1358. And if you want to text us, please feel free to join the conversation. That's 347-285-7777. Again, the number is 347-285-7777. All right? So we're about to take a break, so make sure you go, you get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you get those sardines. Yes, make sure you get that sardines in your system, because whether you are diabetic or not, you definitely don't want to become diabetic, and this is a perfect way you can prevent that from happening. Okay, so go grab some sardines, and while you're grabbing those sardines and crackers, oh, and sardines and grits. Yes, I had a message yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to read it. We were talking about the different ways you eat sardines, and sardines and grits is a way you can get that sardines job done. Yes, if you like grits, I've eaten it like that. It is delicious. Pastor Charlene whips it up like some tuna with some mayonnaise and some onions and throws it on some crackers. So listen, you can do all of that while you're here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. Yes, you know, listen, okay, so we got to get Kenny on one day, because she is the grits master. And but in the interim, crackers, you know, you ain't got to go cook no crackers. You don't have to cook the sardines. So that could be a healthy breakfast for you. And I encourage that is a healthy breakfast for you, and that you hold on to your seats, because we will be right back.
Every day, signs warn us of danger. But often, hepatitis B won't give you a warning. Hepatitis B often doesn't cause symptoms. 1 in 12 Asian Americans is infected with hepatitis B, and most don't know it. In fact, hepatitis B is the number one cause of liver cancer among Asian Americans. Hepatitis B is a virus that is most often spread through infected blood. It is not spread through air or by sharing food or utensils. If left untreated, it can lead to serious liver problems. Testing is the only way to know if you have hepatitis B. Talk to your doctor today about getting tested. Treatments are available that can save your life.
Good morning and good morning to you. You're on with this Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday. Yes, Church Folk Day, our number one rated day for 52 weeks straight. Yes, and as we're going into our second week of our new year, yeah, it's still rated number one. How you like them apples? You know, people like to actually hear you talk about them and give them correction. Well, I tell you, God is good, because we know people don't generally like correction, especially church folk. And to hear that is number one is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Okay? Well, 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 I am so happy you're able to join me today. What would I do without you? Yeah, what would I do without you? I don't know. All I know is I just spent 52 weeks, 53 weeks with you. And I tell you, I have enjoyed every moment. I sure have. Have you? I hope so, because I just can't imagine going forward in life without you. Okay? So, what are we talking about today? Well, well, well. We've got a bit of news today. And we've got 10 warning signs your dog needs to go to the veterinarian. Oh, every once in a while we'll talk about those friendly animals that we have living in our homes. And I came across this and, you know, I thought this would be a wonderful, wonderful segue into our conversation today. And, you know, quite a few of you who listen, you actually own dogs. So we want to make sure that you take care of God's precious animals, you know, the best that you can. Okay, so you're part of the family too. Well, number one, change in eating habits. Oh, wow. They say any change in how your dog usually eats warrants a trip to the veterinarian. If your little pooch is suddenly turning up his nose at regular food or his treats, it could indicate anything from digestive issues to a serious obstruction in the intestines, which would require surgery. Now, let me say this to you all. That last part right there, let me read it to you again. Serious obstruction in the intestines would definitely require surgery. You want to get your dog there. Oh, as a person who over the past 10 years have had several major surgeries because of an obstruction, will be the first to tell you that that's no joke. So it's very painful, very uncomfortable. It's a game changer and a life changer for sure. And if you love your dog, you would definitely want to go and get him or her checked out if there's a change in the eating habits. Because I have to tell you, one of the things that they ask you when you get, you know, if this is, you know, especially for those of us who are known or we have like some intestinal issues, the first thing they ask you is your changing eating habits. Yeah, have you been eating? What have you been eating? So pay attention. Always pay attention. You always say, pay attention to your body. Okay, make sure you pay attention to the change in your dog's eating habits. And they say any change is worth taking taking the dog to the vet. Okay, all right. Make sure, do you have those pens and papers out? Come on, because if you don't have a dog, it's okay. You want to make sure you give this information to your people. Okay, all right. Number two, drinking a lot or too little. Wow, take that dog to the vet if they're drinking a lot or too little. Not drinking enough water or failure to urinate can also indicate digestive issues. If your dog is drinking and urinating excessively, a veterinarian should check them out for, guess what? Diabetes or kidney disease. Oh, my goodness. See, I knew there was a reason why I was reading this today. I told you, I always read the first few things. I have to be honest. I saw this this article. I read the very first one, and I was intrigued already. And, you know, this is posted by a veterinarian. And, you know, this is something that we got to make sure we do. And I was like, hey. So, you know, I did pull out the right one. They're saying, we've been talking about diabetes and kidney disease. Now, yes, it affects our doggies. Yes, dogs can have diabetes and kidney disease as well. Okay, number three, difficult or rapid breathing. Okay, every dog pants on a hot day or after exercise, but they should not have trouble breathing after a brief rest or return to cool temperatures. While your dog may only have a cold or be experiencing allergies of some kind, you need to make sure they're not experiencing something more serious. Allergies. Come on, man. These are real people in your house. They're just not people. They're not human. But, wow, can you imagine? Allergies. So we know that dogs get diabetes, kidney disease, and diabetes, and we only up to number three. Okay? Here, number four. Vomiting or changes in their stool. Throwing up their food once or having a bout of diarrhea is not necessarily cause for alarm, but if the problem goes away quickly and does not become chronic, you can sit home. However, continual changes in stool can indicate digestive inflammation or blockage, serious allergy, or disease. This and especially vomiting could mean your pet ate something poisonous. Okay, remember now, you don't get a chance to see everything that the dog may put in its mouth. And again, I'm going back to my own experience. They said digestive inflammation, a blockage. Yeah, vomiting or changes in stool, that's the other question that they ask you when you go in. And you've had issues with your intestines. They ask you, when was the last time you went to the bathroom? And they don't mean to urinate. No. Okay? Because that's an indication of a blockage. It blocks you from moving your bowels. Okay? So, I keep telling you, it's not much different than human beings. Number five, lack of energy or lethargy. Although more of a concern in young dogs and puppies, lethargy and general disinterest in more active pastimes can be a sign that your dog is ill or has a physical complaint that is hurting them. All right, so they say especially watch out for young dogs and puppies experiencing the lack of energy or some level of lethargy. Number six, ready? Poor balance or difficulty with regular movement. Oh, whenever changes to gait, movement, or balance are observed in your pet dog, you should make an appointment with the veterinarian right away. While a limp may be as single as a strained tendon, balance issues and awkward motions can indicate neurological problems. Wow. Okay, so make sure you're paying attention to the way your dog moves. Yeah, if they're having a hard time balancing themselves or, you know, difficulty with regular movement, they're moving a little slow or they look like they may be in a little bit of pain, get them over to the vet. Okay, we're talking about signs that your vet, your dog needs to go to the veterinarian. Okay? Number seven. Irritated, weeping, or red eyes. Infection and irritants can change how your dog's eyes look. If they are red, tearing, or producing excess mucus, you probably should get them checked out at the clinic. Okay. Other possibilities include a scratch or other injury to the cornea. So either way, as long as they have irritated, weeping, or red eyes, you need to get them on over to the veterinarian. You'll need to make, you know, you don't need to come up with no blind dog now. Mm-mm. Not if you can help it. Okay? Number eight, rashes or skin and hair changes. Man, it sounds like if I didn't know better, we were talking about people. All right? While many skin rashes, dry skin, and dull coats result from food and other allergies, no one should let their dog suffer along with irritations and itches that never go away. Veterinarians can help determine the cause of the skin and hair problems and come up with a solution to make your dog more comfortable. All right, so, you know, I know it's not like a regular person where, you know, we can just look at the skin, you know, but they have ways of showing, you know, that something is wrong. So even the hair changes, get them over to a vet, okay? Number 9, wincing, whining, or crying. All three of these actions indicate an injury or some kind of pain your dog is experiencing. If you start to pet your dog and they'll shy away from your hand or whine, you know there is something wrong. Your pet might need x-rays and a full examination to determine the cause. Alrighty. And number 10, aggressive or unusual behavior. Anytime your dog's behavior changes for the worse, it is an indication that something is not right. Just like people get cranky when they are ill or in pain, your dog can have the same reaction. Do not assume that a sudden increase in barking, growling, pacing, or other aggressive or restless actions are a behavioral problem. The first thing to do is to make an appointment with the veterinarian so that the dog can be checked for illnesses and injuries. All right, so if you notice that your dog is acting some kind of strange, or there's a level of aggressiveness that he or she have not had, yeah, you need to get them to the doctor. So let's go over the warning signs you need to take your dog to the vet. 1, change in eating habits. 2, drinking a lot or too little. 3, difficult or rapid breathing. 4, vomiting or changes in stool. 5, lack of energy or lethargy. 6, poor balance or difficulty with regular movement. 7, irritated weeping or red eyes. 8, rashes or skin or hair changes. Okay. 9, wincing, whining, or crying. 10, aggressive or unusual behavior. Now, if I didn't know better, like I said, going through this list, I just know. I was talking about a person. Well, most people treat their pets like children. And after, you know, going through this list, we see that they act like children. And you know, you definitely don't want to know that your friend, your pet, is going through something and you're not paying it any attention. And you know, it makes me think about the fact that, you know, people go get these animals, and let's mainly talk about dogs, let's stay on track. You know, they go get these dogs and they can't afford to get shots. You know, they can't afford to take the dog to the vet on a regular basis. Well, I got to be honest. Let's talk about this thing here. Let's talk about it, Tuesday. Let's talk about this thing. You know, we talk about having children when you can't afford it. You know, people, why go get, you know, slip up, quote unquote, and go get pregnant if you cannot afford it? Well, listen, having a pet, a dog, can be quite expensive. Yes, you know, they say when you get these dogs, you get them, you need to get them immediately, get them some shots, and get them, I know with cats are spayed or neutered, whatever you do in the same way to dogs, you got to get that done. And, you know, you got to be prepared because, you know, I'll never forget, I had a cat, and I'll never forget, she got sick, and we took her to the vet. And, you know, when the vet told me what was wrong, I asked her how much. To treat that problem alone was a mortgage payment. Yes, it's a mortgage payment. And I was like, oh, that's how much it costs to treat that? And she was suffering. She was really suffering. She wasn't moving. And, we rushed her because she was never, ever lethargic in all of the years we had her. And we had her for like 12 years, 13 years at this time. And she never was lethargic. And this small problem was a major problem. And she had to be cared for, and I couldn't afford the second mortgage payment. So here's the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is, you know, we have to think about these things when we go and we get these pets. So you get a dog, and I've just got finished listing 10 things. And if you think about it, it's more than 10 things because some of those things were like this, this, or that. And, you know, we don't take our children to the pediatrician as quickly as some of these things are on this list, but the fact of the matter is it's real. Like I said, it would look like a small problem to me, but at the end of the day, it was a big problem, and you just can't afford it. So it's something that we need to think about before we take on, you know, this extra life in our hands. You know, do we have the money to take care of it? Because I said, I can't do that. What else can I do? What's the alternative? And she gave me the alternative, and I could afford to buy whatever little medicine or whatever. I charged it. I charged a visit to the vet, and I had just gotten a brand new credit card. And I could afford it, you know, I could afford it to pay the credit card back. And, you know, it was heartbreaking to see her like that. So I know you don't want to see your dog like that, but you definitely don't want to get to the doctor and hear these things and you can't afford it. And trust me, it's expensive. Yeah, I've known people who've had surgery, that let them pay for their dogs to have surgery. You know, you're running back and forth to the doctor. They got to get all these shots and the treatment, and the dogs have cancer. And, yeah, this stuff is real. So we got to make sure that we get these dogs, and it's not just for play. They're God's animals, and we got to make sure we treat them well, and we can afford to take care of them. And that's what happens with a lot of people. We can't afford to take care of them. So, you know, when you see this stuff happening to your dog, you want to, you know, make sure that you get them cared for immediately so that you don't, you know, let this thing fester and get worse. Okay? So that's our doggy talk for today on Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And as I said earlier, Pastor Ed did contact me and let me know that they are still running back and forth with little Elijah, and he would not be joining us today, unfortunately. And so we're going to continue to keep them in prayer. And I spoke to his wife few weeks ago when they had the procedure. Oh, my gosh, if you were to only hear all of this stuff this one little person had to go through. I told you it was like 10 hours of just everything together, and it's going to take a while. So please, let's keep them lifted in prayer, not just little Elijah, but the family, because this is a family thing. You know, little Elijah has a twin. And who's much more high functional than he is. So, you know, they got their hands full over there. You know, we're talking about family here. So let's keep them lifted in prayer, okay? But thanks be to God, we got our other panel members always on deck, thank God. So let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Glad to hear thank your God. Voice today. Glad. Thank God we hear your voice today and that you're doing better than last week and the week before. So thank God for that.
Yeah.
We just got finished talking about 10 warning signs your dog needs to go to the veterinarian. You don't have a dog, do you?
No, I'm allergic. I'm allergic to the animals. They're here, the dogs and the cats. I'm allergic.
Okay. Well, when you hear all these things, I mean, these were some real, what we would consider some simplistic things. But they're warning you that you may have to take your dog to the veterinarian. What do you think about this when you're hearing this list, just hearing the list?
Well, hearing it and knowing people who have a dog, you know, that had issues, you know, that was my concern about the finance. Like, you know, it sounds like a human being you're running. You got to take off work to take them to the doctors to sit when they having surgery. You know, just to hear a lot of the stuff that one of the things I didn't know that they had allergies. I didn't know that the dog had allergy too. So that was something for me for today. And so, you know, just being concerned, and now you really see how it can be like a child, you know, running back and forth and having this money. It's a lot.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I, too, did not know anything about allergies and things like that. You know, you got to get all close up to the dog to make sure to look at the dog's eyes, if the dog's eyes are red. And, oh, my. You know, it's a large responsibility handling and keeping these pets around. So thank you so much.
And you know what it made me?
Yes. No, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, now it makes me understand a little bit more of why so many stray dogs. Because people probably get to a place where they can't afford them. So, you know, they just let them loose.
Good thought. That's a good thought, Pastor Charlene. Really a good thought, you know, when, you know, just kind of open up the door and let them out. Stray cats as well. When you get to the point where you just can't afford and now they're out on the street, you know, just like people, Lord have mercy, just like people. When you start talking, you really can't tell the difference than if you're talking about regular people. Or human beings, I should say. Not regular people. Human beings, I should say.
Yes,
oh, my
absolutely.
Goodness. Well, thank you so much for indulging me and joining in on our conversation this morning. And we are, again, grateful to God that you are here. Let's say good morning to our
thank
Minister
you.
AJ. Thank you. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our fathers in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another blessed Tuesday in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Minister AJ. Amen.
I
am well, thank you. How are you?
I am doing pretty good, thank you.
That's good. That's good. You know, we started off talking about those 10 warning signs that your dog may, you know, may need to go to a vet. Have you ever owned a dog?
No, I've never owned one, but I have, you know, taken care of one of my family members' dogs for quite a while.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Any of these experiences, occurrences, rather?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, well, you were on the good side. What do you think when you hear all of these things, you know, that we need to pay attention to, you know, if we have dogs and make sure we get them to the veterinarian? What's your thought?
Sound like we need to start taking these dogs to church, baptizing them, make them pay tithes, because they sound like humans. They sound straight like humans. I know why I don't have any dogs, because I've always said it. But just to hear this one, man, I'm trying to get my own health together. Now, I can't be, you know, taking no dog to the vet, and I'm half sick. Nah, the devil is a lot. But I think we need to start taking them to church. These dogs blessed, because this is
half sick. Have a delivery service.
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, I'm sure they have, like, dog insurance, like we have health insurance. And I also say, interestingly enough, they have not taken the dogs to church. I'd be surprised. Dogs, everybody else, might as well take them to church. Might as well take them to church. I you're
I'm
very
sorry.
Interesting.
Can you imagine sitting in church and the dogs are clapping?
You know what, Pastor Charlotte, only you. Only you would think of stuff like this. You know what? I can't
I'm
with
sorry.
You too. No, listen. I think about all this. I'm like, you know, they ain't rushing the dogs up in the church, and I'm kind of happy about that. But, you know, they're taking them everywhere else, as we talked about before. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody in this world is not taking their dog to church. So I was looking at this article, and it made me think of something else. And one of the things I came across was the warning signs that you are drifting away from God. And I was like, you know what? This is a good topic to have today. You know, we've heard all the stuff about the dogs. And, you know, one of the things that I always thought about was, you know, when you're drifting away from church, when you're drifting away from God, you really don't pay much attention to it. And I've gone through a season in here in this ministry where I've had someone say, or a couple of people say, well, you know, it wasn't all of a sudden, you know, it just happened slowly. And I'm saying, I saw it. The days when I used to talk to you about why your face looks so long. How come you're lethargic in service? How come, you know, when we're having praise and worship, there's no clapping. You just sitting there daydreaming. You know, all of these kind of things, you know, show that there's no interest. No interest at all. And an indicator that we're drifting away from church, from God, from God's people, from the things of God. So I thought it would be a good conversation today to talk to, you know, our listeners and let them, you know some of the signs that they're kind of drifting, okay? So, one of the things they mention is pride. When your pride is all in the way, you're drifting away from the Lord. What would you say, Pastor Charlene?
Absolutely, because you don't want to hear or be corrected because you know it all.
So one of the things is when you come up against, like when we were talking about when the pastor say something to you, and you're having a conversation with this the individual, and they want to overtalk you or tell you, I'm not doing that. I don't know what you're talking about, you know, and then they get into that mood. So that's them coming in. So they want to override what you're saying, you know, because you're coming to them, you know, and saying something that maybe, like you said, obscene, you know, because a lot of times you will say something before they go over the ledge. And then they're not receiving what you're saying to me. So the pride will get in there because they know it all. And I'm not doing it, you know. So.
Okay. Mr. AJ, pride.
Yes, absolutely. When you know everything, nobody can tell you nothing. You know, you're refusing knowledge of even the leader. And when you refuse knowledge, the Bible says you despise your own soul, and it becomes all about your achievements and your satisfaction. Even to the point that you'll put other members down. You know, you'll put the church down. You find faults with everything that's going on because of your pride. And you know somebody is telling you something that's going to help you. And this, you know, while you're in the pastor's face, you going toe-to-toe with them, bop, 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 back and forth. Then when you get by yourself, you think like, wow, they you know, he or she was really right. But then you're too powerful to even come back and say, listen, you know what, you was right, because it's all about you.
Okay. Well, to prove that pride is drawing us away from God, we have this scripture, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, Proverbs 16:18. So there's the proof of what Pastor Charlene and Minister AJ are talking about. Okay. I just hit the wrong button. Okay, this is... All right, I'm so sorry. Hold on. Okay. All righty. The next thing they list is going through the motions of faith. Ooh. Going through the motions of faith. What you got, Pastor Charlene?
Yeah, well, you see that. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Because, you know, in the church, you know how to, you know when that key hit, you know, when to say amen, when to, you know, clap your hands, when to, you know, and you know that they're not really in it. They are drifting. I call it drifting. Where that, you know, you just, you know when the beat hits, you know when to shout, you know when to stop, you know when to say, you know, that particular scripture at that particular time. So I call them drifters, though. That's what I call it.
Okay. Minister AJ, going through the motions of faith.
I call these people those that have the motions but don't really have the ministry. Because you can tell, it's like when Jesus told that parable of those that gladly received the word and they were jumping around and, you know, but, you know, versus the ones who allowed the word to take root. And you can always tell because these are the ones who say amen when the pastor talk about somebody else. But the minute he get on their street, it's a whole different ball game. And, you know, they go through the motions of faith. And you can always tell because the time of testing. When they start getting tested, it's the little, now they done gave a sermon on the mountaintop, but it's the littlest things that separate them or get them mad or angry or to you know, I don't even want to say come out of the character, to show the true character of them. So, you know, and that's how you know somebody's going through the motions of faith, because it's going to come out when the time of testing arrives. How do you handle your testing and your trials and your tribulations?
Okay. They say a religious spirit. Ooh. They hitting some kind of areas here. Pastor Charlene, that shows that, you know, you're drifting from God, that religious spirit.
Always want to praise the Lord. God walking with their Bible. Want to quote scriptures. Don't even have a real conversation. Right? That's what we talk about, correct? Want to make sure.
Yeah, that could be a way,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, and they walk with their Bibles, because I've seen it. You know, they can take their Bible to the grocery store, you know, and everything is, you know, I call it that they're living on the mountain 24/7. You know, they don't want to never come down, you know, just to have a calm, you know, a regular conversation with them, you know, with a person. I said with a person. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Minister AJ, that religious spirit shows that you're drifting from God.
Absolutely. When you do all the practices of religion, and I'm going to say it this way, on your platform, you do all the practices on your platform. So, you know, you go through the motions in church, you come, you know, you do everything that everybody's doing in church. But then, you know, you got great belief in the religion, but you can't live nothing that you're talking about. You'll study it to know it, just to hold it over somebody else's head. You know, you'll study to become deep in religion, but then you can't live none of what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? You can only talk about it, but you can't live it. And to me, that's being religious. When, you know, you study it to sound like a theologian, to sound like, you know what's going on, but then you can't live none of it. You know, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Okay. All right, so listen. It's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, so let's talk about it. You know, join the conversation. I invite you to join the conversation, 347-285-7777, 347-285-7777, if you want to text. If you want to talk, join the conversation with us live, 516-387-1358, you know. Hit us up, 516-387-1358. Let us know, you know, some of your thoughts and how, you know, let's talk about you maybe, you know, some of the signs that you were drifting from God and maybe you didn't realize it until it was like way too late. So, you know, we've already talked about pride. We've already talked about going through the motions of faith. And we just got finished talking about a religious spirit. And, you know, what are we experiencing in our own lives? What have we seen? And maybe we tried to warn someone about and, you know, they wouldn't listen. That pride got in the way. They didn't want to listen. They knew everything. And now they're in a bad state because they allowed other things to come in between them and God, their relationship. So come on, whether it's you or whether it's something you've seen, I would love for it to be a personal testimony because that's what really draws God's people. And let's make sure we get it done, okay, together. Let's make sure we don't drift. Let's help one another see these warning signs. Come on, Pastor Charlene. They say false idols. False idols will help us drift from God.
When we put into something else, like two different ways I'm thinking. Let me go this one. The one that they don't even want to come to church. So shopping is first. I remember many times when Macy's will have, I'm going to use Macy's as an example. Macy's have a sale, you know, and instead of coming to the church, they would go shopping. And it seemed like Macy's will always have this great sale on a Sunday. And they would use that as an excuse because, you know, God knows my heart.
And when you bring it to them, it was like it's not becoming an idol of my shopping, you know. So they will put the shopping in front of everything. It was like, you know, come to church talking about it, you know, going talking about it. So, you know, that was one of the biggest things that of a church that I was in that was a big hinder that lost a lot of people. So when they got told about it, they decided that it wasn't true. That was one. But then they used that as an excuse of why they didn't want to come back. So that was a big hole of for them.
Okay.
You can use a lot of different ways of idol.
Oh, absolutely. 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 They say false idols. Well, idols, period, will get the job done. They cause you to drift away from God. But, you know, we go with, you know, the false idols thing. What do you say, Minister AJ?
Anything that you put ahead of God, you know, and a lot of times for believers, a lot of times it's relationships. We always say we don't have no time for God, but then we'll spend weeks arguing with somebody who that we not even supposed to be with.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
People we not even supposed to be around. God done told you to get away from them. But you come up with different ways to argue with them. You know, then you become tactful in your arguing to only find out that 6 years, 7 years later, you still don't have no rest. Anything that you put before God, tear it up.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, good one. I had something that I wanted to ask you too, and I got completely distracted here. Oh my goodness, I'm so upset right now because I don't want to move on, and then I'm going to have to come back to the false idols. I'm going to have to come back to the idols. Oh, I'm sick right now. Okay. I like this one, but I want to change the wording. Let's say lack of spiritual discipline. That's the way I want to say it. Lack of spiritual discipline is definitely something that is an indicator that we're drifting away from God. Come on, Pastor Charlene. Lack of spiritual discipline. Mm-hmm.
Because I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to follow the word of God or what he says that I cannot do and what would affect me spiritually. So a lot of times, you know, because people don't see what we do sometimes, you know, we forget mm-hmm. that God sees all and knows all. So in our discipline, you know, we won't spend and take time of those areas and sit down and pull them out of the scripture so we can ask God, you know, invite the Lord in to help me. I need you right here on this particular thing. So that's what we lack at.
All right. Oh, we're talking about the lack of spiritual discipline. That's a sign that we're drifting away from God. Come on, Minister AJ, what you got?
God help us. We create a regiment for everything else in our lives, but the most important thing, which is our spiritual life. We create a regiment to go to the job. We create a regiment to go to the gym. But then it becomes, oh, I'll pray tomorrow. I'll worship tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Why? But we have not even created a regiment. And it's funny. You know what? I'm going to use something that came to me the other day. It's like if we filled out a job application, but we didn't put, or if we said we don't know what our availability is, or if we had no availability, would we even get the job? So how do we expect God to move for us and we don't know when we have availability or if we have any availability?
Wow. I like that. Good stuff. That's lack of spiritual discipline. Nice.
All right, we got a comment. Remember now I'm asking for us to comment on, you know, ways that, you know, we see that we're drifting from God, or we've been through that, or we know someone, we've watched it happen with other people. Come on, give us a call, 516-387-1358. Join the conversation. If you don't want to talk yourself, but you just want Shantice to give you a hand with relaying your feelings and your thoughts, hit her up, 347-285-7777. Send her a text. All right, let's start. Brother Al's got something to say. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning, good morning. And I would now be referred to as Professor Brother Al. Thank you.
You know what? I can't.
Thank you very much. I would like to say good morning to all the crew. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Brother Al? Good?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And, man, this, I was listening to the conversation. It's a beautiful conversation. And as you were speaking, I was like, wow, what is it? Not, you know, I just started thinking about things with myself and as well as with other people. And one of the things that hold us back, too, is anger. And I dealt with that myself. Anger. Like, we'll get so angry and we'll forget all our religion. We'll forget what we're about. That anger is a mess. And I remember when I was going through with my baby mother, and like I said, she would just put me through it, just being evil. And I was calm with everything else. And as soon as she said or did something with my son, I flip off. And I remember when I said, you know what, I got to put this in God's hand. And when I realized that it was drawing me away was, I'll never forget, I was sitting on my couch. I had my Bible. I was reading. My brother came in. He said, Al, what you doing? I said, I'm just reading the Bible. I got to get myself calm. This woman drives me nuts. And I was sitting there reading the Bible, and I just finished reading some passages. I put the Bible down, and this girl did something, and I got on the phone. And when I tell you, I went off, and I had to sit back and think, wow, I was just sitting here reading the Bible and let this woman take me to, you know. And when I got, Pastor Steph, I got so mad, I forgot what chapter I was reading. I forgot everything. And so, you know, that's a big thing when people get angry. Even we spoke about it before. You hear some people say, well, yeah, I go to church. I'm a minister. I'm a reverend, but I can't go there. So, see, we let that anger take us to a place that we ain't got no business, and the enemy just eats it up and love it. So we have to do something about that anger. You got to control that anger, because that anger could get you in so much trouble, and it draws you further and further and further away from the good Lord, which I'm quite sure you don't want to do. He's good. He's good all the time.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much for that testimony, Brother Al.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
All right. Have a blessed one.
Okay, you too.
All righty. We're talking about things that, you know, signs that you're drifting away from God, and we've talked about, what, five of them, and Brother Al just brought up anger, and we know that anger can definitely show that we are drifting from God. That hasn't hit our list yet, but if it does, we'll have our ministers respond to that as well. So I don't want them to do it yet. I want to see what's on the list first. Okay. All right. Here's a big one. Come on, come on, come on. Because see, people think that they are right. They say the signs that you're drifting away from God is lack of church attendance. Where is my church bell? Why people think that they could stay away from church and they're going to be all right? Why? Come on, Pastor Sean, and they say lack of church attendance.
Absolutely. A lot of people do. They think that they don't need to come, and we need to come to help, you know, keep each other one in prayer, help to and stay in worship. Also, you know, for us to be able to encourage each other, because you never know what you might be going through. Somebody else might be going through. Well, there's always going to be somebody that's going through what you go through. And when you do the testimonial services, you know, the churches that do that. Also, that when it's like if I say, you know what, I don't want to go to church this Sunday, and you take that one off, then the next week will come, and you find yourself just keep going and not going and not going, and now you are doing other things and where that your mind, you know, if you're not coming to church, you might not be picking up your Bible. You know what I mean? And where that, I remember where that I was reading the Bible, and this person I was with, he would read the newspaper. And he was like, oh, you always reading the Bible. But I noticed that even with myself, I started drifting away because, you know, your mind start, okay, well, let me not read now because he's not reading, and let me do. So it does. It takes a big toll because now you got to fight your way back, you know, because now you got your spiritual side, you know, that you, I know I need to go, but then the other side, you know, I want to stay out here because everybody's, you know, going to the beach or whatever on Sunday or Saturday or, you know, whatever day that you're supposed to be there. Wednesday Bible study, same thing. You know, we find our way just drifting away. Yes. Come to church. Get the word. So it can hold you.
Well, actually, I kind of remembered what I wanted to ask the two of you. So, Minister AJ, we're talking about lack of church attendance is one of the ways we show that we're drifting from God.
Yeah. Sometimes we confuse what we've seen church folks do versus what we're supposed to be doing for Christ. You know, you're not in it for the church people. But when you've seen so much in church and you've seen so much with the church people, sometimes you come up with a list of reasons why you don't want to go to church when, you know what I mean? You know, let the weak and the tired go together. When I come, I'll do the separation. That's up. That's for God. It's not really for us. And I know I make the mistake sometimes, you know, looking. And, you know, when you've been in church literally from day one of your life, you see so much. And a lot of times you forget that, you know what I mean? You need to go and not forsake the assemblies. And you're like, oh, I could just do it on my own. And then before you know it, like Pastor Sean said, you're doing something else. You're reading a newspaper, you know, you're driving a car. But, you know, a lot of times because of what you see. And you're not supposed to go about what you see, but that's a whole other talk.
All right. And I forgot again. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to write it out the next time. Okay.
Can I just ask, I just want to say one thing on behind Minister AJ. You know,
sure.
A lot of times, too, that the church people get together and they decide not to come, right? Given a scenario. And because I remember that I was hanging out with the Pastor Key. And when I was coming, you know, and I was really trying to find my way during this time. And so they made it look like it was just okay and that it was all right for us not to come, you know. So that becomes that fall, too. Because, you know, when you're
saying
about, you know,
kids.
Being in. Yeah.
And this was the pastor kids.
The pastor
oh,
kids.
Goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's where I learned how to drink. Also, you know. I hope they ignore you. I'm sorry. Oh, God. I talk too much. I'm sorry.
Well, listen, we don't know which pastor's kids. That's all right. It's all right. Just be careful of even the pastor's kids you hang around. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. Pastor Sean.
I don't even know how long ago, but it was 30 years ago.
Wow. Well, be careful of the pastor kids. Be careful of the pastor kids. Oh, my goodness. All right. Here's the other thing that you kind of both alluded to, but, you know, again, we got to stick a pin in it. They're saying when you refrain from being in the Christian community. Come on, Pastor Charlotte. No more pastor kids stories.
I'm not. I'm jacked up on that right here.
Oh, goodness.
I'm sorry. What do you say? In the church community, correct? I'm sorry.
Right. You refrain from, you know, being in a church community. Christian community, rather. Christian community. I'm sorry.
All right. Let's see. Being around them. I guess we're not really pretty much said that already.
I said we're going to stick a pin in it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm devastated.
Because
that
here's
I
why
said
we have
to
stick a pin in it. And we do it all the time. You know, when we talk about one topic, you know, you all step on and step into something else. And, you know, it's fine if we gloss over it, but we need to stick a pin in it because there's a distinct difference between going to church, your lack of church attendance, and staying away from the Christian community. Because once you begin to separate from all of these things, you know, you're showing that there's a drifting away from God. So, you know, if you don't even want to be around a church people or people who represent, you know, morals or Christian standards, you know, that's a completely different angle than just stop going to church.
Right.
So I know we kind of glossed over it, but let's stick a pin in this thing here.
Okay. So when you don't want to be around the church community, meaning like, you know, you not answering none of their calls, where you were with them before, excuse me, where you were with them before, you know, and you start going, you know, other people are in your ear. So now you don't have the word. You're not coming to the church. You're not reading your word. You don't have anybody that is you allowing to come and minister to you. So now you are out there. And once you are out there, whoever is in your ear is what you're going to listen to. Whatever that you continue to, if you're not going to start, you know, you're not going to listen to the gospel music, you know, so you have no kind of way of any kind of the word coming towards you that you have shut down. Now, once you out there, remember, once you turn your back, you know, now as you trying, that mo going to come with that one, whatever that you're fighting, you know, and now you out there in the water, as they would say, without a paddle, you know, so you've got to be able to keep yourself surrounded with the word, any kind of way, surround it, you know, because now if you out there like that, you're not going to pray, you know, you're not going to lay before God because you're out there. And once you put yourself out there, you got to be able to, you don't turn your back on the Lord. Now you got to fight your way back home. Did I answer
all
your question?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. Minister AJ, you know, they say when you are keeping yourself away from the Christian community, that shows that you're drifting from God.
Absolutely, because you don't know who God is going to use to feed you. And even if you're the most intelligent person and you're always given, how do you get replenished? You know, how do you receive? If you're not around anybody who's doing you know, Christ-like things, how do you get fed? You know, and eventually there's going to be a breakdown somewhere, and we don't know who God will use. You know, everybody is not, you know, geared to reach everybody. You know, who may reach me may not reach you. So you need to, and I think a lot of times we make that mistake even in churches. We don't fellowship with churches. You know, we in these four walls, and, you know, all we know is the knowledge that we're given, and somebody could have a lot of knowledge that could take us to another level. But because we won't fellowship, you know, a lot of us stay on the first level in our salvation because we won't fellowship.
All right. They say that there's a sign that you're drifting away from God when you really don't have a desire to reach the lost. There's no discipling. There's no evangelism. Ah, what do you say, Pastor Charlotte?
You want to keep it all to yourself. You're not even doing the work of the Lord because everything that he gives us is for us to help someone else along the way.
where you don't want to get up and give your testimony to somebody, where you don't want to talk about, you know, your things that you have been through, you know. And a lot of times people won't do that. They will be very quiet. And, you know, you like, this is your opportunity to win a soul over, you know, to know Christ. This is an opportunity. And it's a lot in the church. That's a lot in the church. They will say it in the church, but they will not go to the street or tell someone on their job or in their family. Absolutely. That's a big one right there.
All right. Minister AJ, you know, you have no desire anymore to reach the lost, to evangelize, to disciple, to talk of God's goodness. You ain't drawing nobody to the Lord. That's an indicator. That's an indicator. You're leaving God.
Absolutely.
You're leaving God.
Witnessing and bringing other souls to Christ is our major assignment. And so when your Holy Spirit becomes the horrible goose, you're not going to have any desire to win souls. And also, you know, it to me, it shows a lack of love, which shows a lack of God. Because how do we know that we're going to be his disciples? By how we have love for one another. And if I see you going down and I'm not helping you, that's not love.
I like that. I like these things you all are bringing out. All right. They have, when we're being drawn and attracted by the things of the enemy. When we're being attracted and drawn to the things of the enemy, Pastor Charlene, that shows that we drifted away from the Lord.
When we're attracted to the things of the world and what the world is doing. With the, you know, of them being partying, being attracted to, of drinking, you know, so many. But when you're attracted to what that's not of the Lord, you know, because we know that this temple that we're supposed to keep clean, you know, we're supposed to be able to keep our minds, because our minds is easy to wander. So we become attracted of what we see instead of them running away from it, you know. And when it comes upon you and you need to leave, sometimes people won't leave. They will stay there and engaged in it. And before you know it, you know, you're in. you're in, you know. So you got to be able to know that that is not. That's why you got to keep yourself around people, you know, that know the word, around people that's going to keep your, you know, help your mind stay on Jesus. Because sometimes you need somebody to help you, you know, quoting scriptures, being able to show you in the word, being able to tell you, no, you cannot do that. You cannot go there, you know. So when you feel in that kind of way, you better run, because if not, and don't look back. Don't run and look back and become a pillar of salt. Okay, so you just keep on going and not be around.
All right, all right. Minister AJ, you know, when we're drawn to the enemy's, you know, lifestyle, lies, and all of that kind of good stuff, is an indicator that we're drifting away from God.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, even in relationships, We'll say we don't believe the church folk, but then we'll know our mate has lied to us, and we've physically caught them, but we'll stay there. And a lot of times we'll rather stay around the lies and the filth and the garbage when we're drawn to what the enemy, because what the enemy is throwing at us, because it looks more attractive. And for some of us, we'll stay around it because it's easier to achieve. It's, I don't have to do no work. I don't have to open up my Bible and find out where to start. I don't have to, you know, listen to worship music. It's easier to be a part of the lies and the trash for some of us. And so some of us, we don't want to put the work in, you know, and even just asking our neighbor, well, how do you study? How do you do this? It goes back to the pride thing. And so therefore, we'll rather be attracted to the enemy, because you can always get a bunch of people to do what the enemy is doing, but you can't always get people to be a part of that remnant. But the remnant is what's going to win. Those are the ones who's going to win.
Wow, wow. I want to, you know, Pastor Charlene touched on something right as I thought about it, and she ended up talking about it or mentioning it, I should say. You know, have you seen a person so staunch for the Lord, and then when you look up, they clubbing, drinking, or doing things that this world is doing, and you're like, well, wait a minute, what, 5 minutes ago, Pastor mm-hmm. Charlene?
Yes. Yes, I have. When tragedy came, and they lost someone, that's what did it for them. And then they gave up, and I mean, when fire for the Lord. And then when they have lost someone to death, that they, you know, gave up on God, and God, you said that, you know, you hear my prayers, and, you know, and then the next thing, like I said, one day they didn't come to the church, and then they stayed out, you know, and stayed, and next thing you know, they was in the club, and, you know, and doing everything that they weren't doing before, you know, they switched partners, as, you know, we would say, and,
right.
You know, and went real deep in, and, you know, and turned their back. They didn't want to come back to church. I wonder if she ever did, though. But I never came back to the Lord at all. She didn't want to have nothing about the Lord.
Wow. 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 Let's stick the pin here for a minute. We got a couple minutes. Let's take the. You know what? Let's go back. Let's go. And then before I do that, let me go to Minister AJ. Minister AJ, have you ever witnessed that? You know, a person just in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord, you know, just a staunch agent for the Lord, and then something happened, and you look around, and it's like, well, how'd you get there?
Yes, sometimes, I'm going to use this. Sometimes when a leader points out something in their lives that needs to be fixed, and then now all of a sudden they're not gun ho for God, because really they was operating themselves. And sometimes we learn the work of the church, but we don't learn God, you know, and that's the problem. We learn how to do it, we learn how to do the assignment, but we never learn God. Sometimes when the leader points out, well, you can't come to church and be gung-ho here, and your house is a mess. And then we get sidetracked. God, we only learn the work of the God. And some of us are in love with the work of God, but not in love with God.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, you just kind of stepped all into my next, question because, my question was, you know, what does that indicate? And you're right, you know, it indicates that were we really there? It begs to question, were we really there to begin with? Because how do you put yourself so deep in God, and then, because let me just say this, you know, they say never say never. I'm saying never. I look at my life now, and I say to myself, how in the world, you know, did I function in this world without God? How? You know, and I'm not even talking about the extreme, what you hear on a due time. I'm talking about, like, this is some years back, you know, when you really get to know God. And you're like, oh, my God, did I really live that? Was I really thinking that I was living? And, you know, because we've had so many people say to us, you know, well, I don't want to, you know, give my life to the Lord because I want to live. And you say to them, you think this is living? You know, you've got some, unfortunately, you know, you've been deceived to believe that, you know, like one of you said, what the enemy has beautified to think that that's living. And
I say, you know, does it really mean that that's what, that you really were in the Lord if you can now turn around and go clubbing? I mean, just really, I've seen it happen as well, where, you know, this person, you know, they go into church all the time and they're spewing out Bible scriptures and all kind of things. And when you look up, it's like, now what happened? And if anybody knows me, now help me understand this now, because I'm and I really, you know, really come to the conclusion as well, did you really know God, or were you just going through the motions? So let's stick it there for a minute. We got a couple of minutes. Come on, Pastor Charlene, Minister AJ didn't got us started with just kind of, again, mm-hmm. going through the motions of faith. We're talking about going backwards, but was the real faith there in the beginning?
I'm going to say yes and no, because I believe that it could have been, you know, but you didn't have anybody to be there for you. And when you are all alone, you know, and you're feeling some kind of way, you know, the enemy will come in and he will talk to you, and, you know, and you don't have anybody to help guide you. You know what I mean? When you have, like, I'm still talking about the person that has lost, right? So a person that has lost somebody that they was very close to, that, you know, was their world, you know, they did everything together. You know, and I'm talking about a parent, and they did everything together, you know. So, yes, and that's why I'm saying yes and no. But the situation was where that, you know, you can get into a pit, and if you don't have anybody, you know, to help you, hold your hand, and walk with you in that devastation, you know, to continue to keep helping, you know, like I said, with the word and, you know, and surrounding and putting the music on, because when you're in a house and it's quiet, you know, you don't have anything that you're listening to where the, you know, you have to come in and help that person. Then there are some that when tragedies do hit, you know, you was able when all was going good, but now your real test came when something came and you didn't even call on Jesus. You know, you didn't call his name. You didn't ask him to help you or anything. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, it depends on riding, because I do know, like I said, all by herself and had no one to help pull her up out of that, and didn't want to hear from anybody on the outside.
That is okay. Cause see, I'm sorry, I'm on the fence on this one. I'm on the fence with what you said, and here's okay. where you jump. Here's where you jump right into my thought. When you said didn't want to, if mm-hmm. there's a part of you that's already rejecting what could help you,
mm-hmm.
what does that have to do with other people? So we're gonna keep it. We're gonna stick a pin there. We're going to stick a pin there.
Okay.
Let's hear what Minister AJ has to say. Because he started it. Like I said, it was my question, but he jumped into it before mm-hmm. I could ask. Okay, Minister AJ, let's go with what Pastor Charlene said.
As she was talking, my thought went somewhere else. But it's just like when we get into relationships, not being stable ourselves. And so, therefore, when the next person begins to spill off and say, well, I like it this way, that way, then you automatically start to conform, because why? You've been running from your own mess. And unfortunately, there's some people who come to church and they'll stay in church just to have their relationship with a person. And they never even get what that next person has. So the next person is growing in faith and you just there for a googly-eyed relationship. So therefore, when the relationship and the person tries to hold you to another level of commitment, now you ready to run again. You know, when they start shutting certain things down that you used to do in a relationship, now you go and running, because you never really had a relationship in the first place. And that's what we do. We go to church. We do it in a relationship. We don't become stable ourselves, you know. And
and a lot of times we don't want to be in our mess with just us and God. We want to drag. We'll go to everybody in the church, but never consult God. When God is married to the backslider, so you can spend time with God yourself and get it right, because he's married to the backslider. Now you got, but the problem is you're going to everybody else, but you're not consulting the person who, you know, who is the purpose giver. He knows the purpose of your life. He knows what you should be doing, and he knows how you can come out of what you're in. But because you're not even consulting him, you're going around in circles. I don't know if I answered any question, but that was just...
You actually addressed, you know, the overall. Now I'm going to ask you to address what Pastor Charlene said. What is your thought on that? You know, she said that this person lost a parent who, you know, that was their glue, their right hand, their right arm, their everything. And now they don't have that person anymore. They don't have that parent anymore that was helping to keep them supported in their, you know, with God. And so, therefore, they ended up going backwards from the alone time and not having that parental support, not as a parent, but as that support system. And that's how they ended up kind of conforming back to, you know, the worldly way of living. What's your thought on that?
It almost sounds like we're going back to idols now. Sometimes we worship people. We worship people, and that's the major problem with, you know, a lot of times with us is we put too much confidence, and the Bible tells us not to put confidence in people. You know, yes, we're supposed to have a good relationship with them, because how could you love God who you've never seen and not love your neighbor? But, you know, you can't put your confidence in people. And not only that, you've got to have a relationship with God for yourself. Let a man examine his own self. When you stand before God, and most of us don't know about the judgment seat of Christ, when you got to stand before God and give an account for what you've done, you know, versus what he instructed you to do. So, you understand? It ain't going to be you and your mama standing there. And that's we have to get it for ourselves. Until, you know, mother and father forsake us, and brother and sister, you none of mine. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I quote it right, but, you know, paraphrasing. But, you know, you got to be willing to, you know, and that's the thing is we're so quick, and maybe this is another segment, but we're so quick to be in the in crowd. You know what I'm saying? We want to be a part of the crowd. We want to be a part of the people. But you got to be a part of God. You know what I'm saying? You have, and God has to be a part of you. You know what I'm saying? You can't put too much confidence in people. You know, your confidence has to be in God.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Pastor Sean, would you, I don't want to, you know, dismiss if you have anything that you want to say.
I was just saying, when he was talking, I was saying, absolutely, you do. You have to put your trust in God and not men, and that's why a lot of people do fall in the church, because they form into these cliques, and they form into, you know, of listening to other people, and you're absolutely right, you know, but with her, you know, like I said, I knew she was fired for God. You know, she went out, she witnessed, she did everything, fed, all of those things, but the problem was, is just like you said, you know, of because of the parent, she gives on the parent, you know, but she wouldn't let nobody in. And that's where the word, where you said stick a pin in it, because of the fact that she didn't let anybody in. She shut everybody down, and she was by herself.
Okay.
You know what I mean? She absolutely. You know? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, a lot of times, and this is what I've said continually. You know, a lot of times we don't realize, okay, listen, let's just go with Bible. The Bible tells us that many of us can never hear from God directly. It doesn't make me better than you because you hear me say, you know, God dealt with me or God said to me. It's just God simply says, you know, based on who you are and your relationship with him, some people will never hear from God directly. So we need to be very in tune with God spiritually, our spirit, and letting God's spirit override our own spirit. So when God is speaking through people, we know it's God. Follow me? So here's the thing. Here's why I say that. Because, you know, when you reject people who are, you said, so, you know, perfect example, because people do this all the time. They reject people speaking to them. I don't want to hear from nobody. I don't want to hear from that person. I don't want to. You don't know who God is. Somebody, one of you said it earlier. You don't know who God's going to use to reach you. So now you're in this place where you've lost the biggest thing in your life, and now you're shutting out everything and everybody. So how do you get God at that point if God cannot reach you person to person in him and you? That means when you're shutting people out, you could potentially be shutting out God, period. So now where do you go from there? So, you know, we have to be very careful, and I talk about this often. We have to be very careful when I don't want to hear from so-and-so, you know, please, you ain't got nothing to say. I can't listen to you. You don't know who God has assigned to speak to you, especially during the time of weakness, the trouble. You know, I want to say this, and we'll have to take this to part two because I got a suggestion via text. So thank you all your listeners, Brother Al, for calling in and, you know, speaking up. This is what makes our day. There was, and I'm going to say this and then I'm going to end, there, and it goes right along with what we're talking about. How you on fire for God and then the next 5 minutes you're like, say that again? I was in the furniture store talking, and I don't know how I ended up saying something about church, God, or something. And he said, oh, you know, blah, 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 blah. Oh, you're a Christian. And he said, well, I used to be, and I don't know why people, and this is not the first time someone has told me, but I'm like, is that something to really tell somebody? He was like, oh, you know, I used to be, oh, I was saying I was a pastor. Somehow or another came up that I was a pastor. And he said, oh, I used to be a pastor too. And I said, oh, used to be a pastor. And he was like, yeah. He said, you know, but I had to give it up. It was just like a drug. What are you talking about? So I said, okay, what does that mean? And he said, after I watched my mother suffer for 4 years with cancer, I walked away because none of it made sense to me anymore. And that was the first time, you know, we've talked for quite some time. That was the first time I had heard it before, but this is the first time I really had an opportunity to speak to a person and ask questions. And we really ended up talking for a couple of hours before we knew it. I still didn't buy no furniture, but I guess that wasn't my visit into the store. That was not my purpose for visiting the store. But here's, I go back to just what we were talking about. How are you a pastor? He said he was a pastor for 10 years, and he got so discouraged after watching his mother suffer with cancer for 4 years, he ended up giving it. Then you really wasn't in the Lord to begin with. Ain't nowhere in the world you going to tell me you're leading people, and all of a sudden you just going to drop God like he's some alcohol, a bad habit, you know, a sexual experience, you know, some drugs, alcohol. No, that makes no sense to me. So we're going to have to bring this, we're going to have to talk about this next week because we really have to help our listeners understand that, no, you can't drift in and out of the Lord. No. If you have HIV, you ain't drifting in and out of HIV. You got it. That's it. So some may say that there's no analogy, but for Stephanie, there is. There's nowhere in the world if you are staunch in the Lord. I'm not saying you won't be a little discouraged. I'm not saying that, you know, you won't be scratching your head, because we didn't all did it. We've all done it. We're like, Lord, I ain't say it was going to be gravy, but goodness gracious. We've all been there. We've all been there. But to drop and completely go out, no, we're going to have to come back to this God Spares next week. How about that, you two? Us coming back to this next
Sounds
week.
Good.
All righty. What about you, Minister AJ? You up for this one more time?
Yes, ma'am. Bring it on.
All righty. And again, that suggestion that was made, I'm coming to that. Shatis, please make sure you keep that so I don't lose it. But thank you. This has been some conversation. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene and Minister AJ. And thank you, you know, for just being who you are and keeping church folk at the top of the list. Have a blessed one.
You too.
Thank you. Leave it up to God to get the ball rolling on some good conversation. Ooh, come on. You know, listen, I want you to send your questions in. 347-285-7777. So we can, you know, address this stuff. Now, we're talking about drifting away from God. We're talking about completely being in the Lord, and then you're completely out of the Lord. Because remember now, in order for you to be in the Lord, you were supposed to come out of the world already. So we didn't went from the world to the Lord, back to the world. So, you know, if you've experienced it and you got that bona fide question, hey, you know, it's happened to me and I knew I was in the Lord, let's talk about this thing. Okay, so make sure 347-285-7777 if you got a question or a comment about this topic, then let's send it in, okay, so we can continue this next week. God spares our life. Oh, but until then, it's time to hold hands and hold hearts. We got a few minutes to get this job done and go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. God, you have been awesome as always. We thank you for just waking us up today. God, we want to thank you for answering yesterday's prayer. We asked you to be the mechanic and the pilot on the plane from North Carolina to New York. And by the grace that you give us, the mercy that always prevails, we have our Brother Al and Lady Tamika on New York soil. Thank you so much for just navigating, being that GPS that got them back safely. Thank you for us getting the opportunity to hear from Brother Al this morning to let us know that, yeah, they're doing all right. We ask you, God, to be with Pastor Ed and his family. We lift them before you, dear Heavenly Father, as they're on this journey that only you can take them through. We know that you're there with them. We thank you for all of the progress Elijah has made, God, and how you have kept his family moving, even at times when they just can't figure out how we got here. But because of you, because you love us, we thank you for just answering prayer and just allowing them to get to this point. So we ask you to be before them as they continue to make the proper arrangements, God. We ask you to be with Dwayne's grandchildren, God. The two little girls who now have no mom. We ask you, God, to touch their little lives. We ask you to fill in the blanks, God. You know, as they're having people care for them on a regular basis, that's not their mother, God. We ask that you just give them the plan that they need to execute. We ask you, God, to help them seek you first as to what it is they need to do to help these children transition into a new world, into a new life. And we thank you, God, that at least they got 12 and 13 years of their mother. Lord, we're just asking you to be with Pastor KL, God, as he's navigating in and out of a difficult journey with his body. We ask you, God, to just touch him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And we ask you, God, to just help give him relief, comfort, and rest, and that he will, you know, they will find something that will give him, you know, permanent relief. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for Pastor Charlene being back with us, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray that all of those tests come out on the great side, not on the good side, but the great side, and that everything that they may find can be addressed, that they will know exactly how to approach it so she can be in better health, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, and we ask you to help to push along Pastor Kim's healing, dear Heavenly Father. We're thanking you, dear God, for just her being going through a successful procedure, and she's been recovering, God, and we just pray that you just continue the healing process, God. We're thanking you, dear Heavenly Father, for Elder Nitesha, who's been traveling, and you have given her safe travels, God. Lord, we just thank you for this entire crew. No matter what we're doing, even if we're just staying home, you've kept us safe right here, right in our homes. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for our listeners. And we pray that they are touched and moved and guided properly based on what you give us to say. That we're not moving to the left or the right without you, God. We're thanking you, dear Heavenly Father, for just having a word to give to your listeners that we're addressing issues and that they would not be afraid or leery to speak of your goodness, to tell you the testimony that you've given them, God. So, you know, we're here to build strength and encourage one another. So let it be done through your people, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you for another opportunity to get it right. We thank you for another opportunity to minister and work for you, God. And we thank you for another opportunity at good health. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for loving us. We're going to thank you right now, dear Heavenly Father, that the change of providers has now eliminated the break in the broadcast. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We don't need any interruptions when we're speaking on about you. So we're thanking you, God, for paying the bills, because we know you're going to take care of everything. We're not going to worry. But your word needs to go forth in the most excellent manner possible, and nothing will hinder that. So we thank you, God, for even that. And we ask you, God, to allow everyone to walk in your greatness, to put you first, and all these things added unto you, God. We're going to lift Minister AJ before you, dear Heavenly Father, before we go. And we're going to thank you for keeping him. We're going to thank you, God, for keeping him. We don't know what's going on in his life. We don't know what difficulty or the great things that might be happening. But the one thing we know is he is always here. And that's only because of you. So we're going to say thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for giving him a word. Thank you for keeping, for him keeping you on his mind and having the determination to serve you, God. We're going to ask, God, that you just bless him accordingly, that nothing will stand in his way when it comes to your ministry through him. And we're going to, again, just ask you, God, to just watch over each and every one of us, protect us throughout the day, so that we can meet here tomorrow if you should spare our life. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. All right. A lot to be grateful for. You know, the one thing that I did miss today was going over our switch tip. You know, I gave the recap, and I have to apologize because I kind of got caught up. But we're talking about the switch tip that says realize who you are. Now here's the interesting thing that we, you know, that it kind of got overlooked yesterday. I'm sorry, this morning. Because it's a perfect opportunity to talk about it now. We're talking about the things that caused you or has caused you or will cause you to drift away from God. You got to realize who you are. And it goes back to a few weeks ago when I said we got to realize that we are God's chosen priesthood. We are God's peculiar people. We are God's holy nation. Remember who you are, who God has called you to be, who he declared you were even before you were in your mother's womb. See, that's what happens when we live a life and we're not focused. We don't put God first. And all of the things that we mentioned, you know, those things kind of step in. And it allows us to drift away from God. It causes us to drift away from God. It helps us to lose focus on who we are and who God considers us to be. So you got to realize who you are in order to truly walk in this thing called Christianity, to be Christ-like. You got to realize that, you know, hey, God is requiring this of me. He's blessed me so much that I can't turn my back on God. That's not an option for Stephanie, because I've watched what God has done for me. And ain't nobody, I always tell people, can't nobody tell me about the Lord. And until you develop that attitude, until you develop that mindset, until you develop that relationship with God, you will be possibly a drifter. Not an option for me. Not an option. I've shared some of my personal testimony here, you know, on this due time. But let me tell you something. There's some stories to go. And that's what I'm living in. I'm living in what God has done and only God has done. See, man, no. They were only a byproduct of God. It's only they did what God gave them to do on my behalf. So there's no way in the world I can give credit to man. There's no way in the world I can give credit to myself. Nah. And because that is my life. My life is based on all of the things that God has done for me. That's my life. That's my life. All the things. Whatever I'm walking on right now, it's all the things that God has done for me. And there is no turning back. Nothing could make me turn back. Nothing. And that's what God needs from us, because that's who he can use to draw people to him. Can you say that I am the one who God has chosen to draw people to him, and I'm never turning back? That's what we need to make sure happens right here, right now. We can't afford to drift. The enemy is looking to destroy you, to kill you. Whose are you going to be? Are you going to be God's, or are you going to belong to the enemy? And it ain't really no tough choice. Once you've been there already, make the right decision. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, Pastor Charlene and Minister AJ, for helping me hold it down today. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us and listening and participating. Thank you so much. Couldn't do it without you. Please choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where we celebrate Wow Wednesday, God's fest, I love you.